Offer yourself a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing unto the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is where we're at. Next on Truth for Today. Chapters 1 through 11, we are exposed to God's amazing grace, His tender mercy towards us. In light of that mercy, there is a response. And that response picks up here in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. A living sacrifice, serving one another. Mercy deserves a sacrifice. Join us. This is Truth for Today from Valley Bible Church in Hercules. Here's Pastor Phil Howard with today's broadcast.
If Jesus Christ is your master, your body is available for Him. But the body is not evil. Matter of fact, that's why sex was so forbidden in the early church. It's part of the monastic order. It's part of Catholicism saying that priests should marry because sex is not smiled upon. Why? Sex involves the body. And anything to do with the body is tainted with evil. God says, no, no. Your body, and when I save you, I'm going to turn your body into the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you said temple, that meant a place where God hangs out, a place where God is worshiped, which means God says, every place I've got a Christian on the globe, I should have a worship center. You don't need to go up to Mount Gerizim in Samaria, John 4. You don't need to go to Jerusalem. You don't need to go. When I show up in any audience, any crowd, I become God's worship center because I'm indwelt by the Spirit for the purpose of glorifying God. Are you a worship center where you work? Are you a worship center in your house? Are you a worship center in this community? What is God getting out of your body? Paul said this, I'm in a strait. I don't know whether to die or to stay here. He said, it'd be a lot better for me if I could die, for I'd be with the Lord. But if I stay, it would be better for you because I could still minister to you. Then he says these great lines, for me to live is football. Wait. For me to live is money. For me to live is sex. For me to live is pleasure. For me to live is me. For me to live is Christ. For I've determined Christ will be exalted, and the word is magnified, which means this. I am determined that as long as I live, Christ will be seen to be magnificent in my body. I'm going to magnify God with everything I've got in this body. God wants your body. I ask you this. Is yours available? What's it employed doing? Listening to sermons only? But you're not in the yoke? You're missing out. You're not giving mercy what it deserves. It deserves your body. He'll talk about spiritual gifts down in verse 3 or about verse 4. But first of all, he's got to have you. Does he have you? Does he have you? We used to sing, you know, I think we need to sing that pop song, Why Not Take All of Me? Well, that's what God's telling you. Why not give me all of you? Or Audrey Meyer would say, all he wants is all of you, and that's not getting a lot, but he wants all of you. That's all. Is that fair for God to pay such a price and to say, by the way, would you give me yourself back? But I can't trust you, God. You can't trust a God that would die for you. You can't trust a God that would give you the gift of righteousness. You can't trust a God that put the Holy Spirit in you. You can't trust a God who's had mercy on you. Come on. If you can't trust God, you can't trust anyone. Then the second thing he said is, I want you to stop being conformed to this evil age. Quit getting your marching orders from what the culture says. The church is always counterculture. Let's take morality. People say, you guys have got all these sexual mores and you're legislating that. Hey, wait. We've been doing this for 2,000 years. This didn't start yesterday. The three great religions of the world, Judaism, Christianity, and even Islam said you shouldn't sleep with someone that's not your wife. This isn't new. It's been around a long time. But we're counterculture. We're just not falling in to the total abandonment of morals, values, and absolutes. We think there's still an absolute lawgiver. And so whatever he says is the boundaries, right? Stop being conformed. Are you being conformed? And it really means, Phillips translated, stop being poured into the mold of this world's thinking. That's why, how much news do you need to hear? How much TV do you consume? What do you have to show for it? How much of this world can... I mean, I think of sports. I mean, there's some guys, you know, especially in the football season, busting out that back door. Got to get there to watch your team lose. Because you know Bay Area hadn't won anything for a long time. Just don't even talk about it. But they're controlled by it. They're controlled. This, that. And he says, stop being conformed. What is God saying? God is jealous of what he saved. And God lost a whole nation because they fell in love with idols. They fell in what the Gentiles were doing. And Israel gave up the true God for idols of wood, stone, idols in Babylon. And he said, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't save you to share you with an evil culture. I want you to stop being conformed to this culture. I think of it, true love is exclusive. I think in teenage dating, you can date and all this stuff, and kids go steady, 16. You know what's hard about going steady? It meant you were supposed to be going out of circulation to the rest of the female population because you had made a commitment. And that's so hard when you knew you were so handsome. Because there may be a prettier girl moving to town. And you don't want this chick over here wearing your ring and she's already got pimples. I mean, you want some gal that's already outgrown that and is getting beautiful. And so you said, man, let me just play the field. There's so much of me, I need to share it with the female population. Now, you know you've got the disease when you start narrowing down. You start narrowing down and say, well, I really do want to go with you. I've given up the other three girls I dated. It's you. Marriage, what's that? It's a little bit more commitment. What does that involve? Well, be nice for a lifetime. Man, you mean all these other women are off limits? It'd be nice. Now, you could write it in the contract, wife plus three mistresses. But you need to do that prenuptial. Love is exclusive. And God says, I don't want to share you with evil. I don't want to share you with the world. You live in the world, you make a living, you eat food, you buy clothes, you raise children, you pay off loans, you drive cars. But when it comes to the interior of your life, the drummer you march to, the thing that shapes you, let it not be the culture that surrounds you. No matter what the agenda comes out of San Francisco, they don't write the moral code for me. Don't let them influence me. I don't care what the philosophy department of Berkeley thinks about creation. They don't determine my view, or do they? PhDs didn't save me. Christ saved me. The Word of God is the thing that shapes me. This is my authority, right there. Ain't counting on any brains to save me. They couldn't if they wanted to. They've not got in a test tube yet how to change a life from being a hoodlum, a punk, a drug addict, and a disrespectful to parent, son, to a changed, redeemed boy or girl that loves God, loves people, and wants to do the right. Jesus Christ does that. He changes lives. He changes lives. So I think that's fair for God to say, I didn't save you to share you with evil. Cut it out. Stop it. Quit thinking like, and quit letting your mind be full of those things that make you have their agenda. Third thing he said, is I want you to start being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice that. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, metamorphosis. And Pastor Rollins reminded me, said, this is going from the cocoon, the caterpillar, to the butterfly. Some of you look ugly in the cocoon stage. We can't wait till you become butterflies. And we've been waiting 20 years on some of you. It's about time. Change. Change. Get over the ugly and get to where you're living a life for Christ that represents Christ. He wants to change you into something beautiful, right? He wants to change you from all those bad habits you came to Christ with, all those bad attitudes, maybe bad background, whatever. He's wanting to change you, and his method is through the renewed mind. What God does when he saves us, he renews our mind. And what's interesting is in Romans 1, he said the mind of the unsaved is reprobate. It's disapproved. It doesn't function anymore. It can't even figure out God. It's denying God. It's mixed up on sex. It's mixed up on ethics. It's confused. It's all over the map. For once you don't want to retain God with your mind and you make those choices, he said in the text, they've become moronic. They've become empty-headed. They can't think my thoughts. And so, when he saved you, he regenerated you and he put a new birth and a new seed in you. And part of it is he renewed your fallen mind to now think God's thoughts. For he said in 1 Corinthians 2:16, we now have the mind of Christ. He could tell us in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He could say in 2 Corinthians 3:16, you are being transformed from one glory to another as you behold the face of Christ, as the Spirit of glory is changing you, changing you, changing you. One of the most glorious things about being a Christian is God is now changing my life. Day by day for the rest of our lives. Now, I know some of you don't need to do any more changing. And I'm being as sarcastic as I can be. Ask your husband if you need to change. Ask your wife. Ask your dog. I mean, ask your neighbors. We all got plenty of changing to do, right? Have you changed lately? Have you changed anything about how you think? When's the last time you asked someone to forgive you? Or do you ever admit you're wrong? I know so many people that can never admit they're wrong. Now, isn't that terrible? I mean, go ahead. Do it. You'll feel better. You're wrong until you admit you're wrong. I mean, you don't have to do it right during the service, but, you know, be willing to own that it could be me. Changing. And he said all of this process is a reasonable act of service. What he's really saying there is God has moved in so that the worship we give God is now reasonable, rational. It makes sense. We're not into heathen worship where we sacrifice our sons and our daughters, where we beat ourselves and lacerate our bodies like a pagan worship did. No, this is reasonable to say, here I am, Lord, take my body. You don't want me to be conformed to evil anymore? That makes sense, Lord. And then three, you want me to be changing. How? By the renewing of your mind. Here, change in a believer. This is why he spent 11 chapters telling us what God's done for us. Authentic change won't come from guilt. It won't come from false motives. He said, this whole change is motivated by appreciating God's mercy. And it's motivated by the divine change in my mind. Cognitive therapy makes sense in this sense. It goes this way. People come in, they say, I feel miserable. I feel depressed. Okay? Depression can come from many sources, but a lot of typical depression would be, say, and just tell me, give me a schedule what you do during the week. Well, I sleep a lot. I watch a lot of TV. I go through 2 bags of chips a day. I drank real Cokes, which has 8 teaspoons of sugar in every Coke. And I just don't have any energy. Could you do something for me? Could I first change the way you think? Don't mess with my mind. What do you mean? Did you know a lot of potato chips are hard on you? I like potato chips. Well, I know, but they don't like you. Cokes. This country is going wild with diabetes, and I got it and don't deserve it. I'm the pickiest eater in the family. But it's just a national epidemic. Exercise. What exercise do you do? Well, I've worn out a path to the refrigerator. Okay, we're thinking it's a little bit different than that. They've got a walking lane out here at Refugio Park. Does it take much effort? Well, you have to drive there, and you will have to walk. I don't know if I'm going to change that bad. And Pastor Rollins is this line. He says, because he does the most counseling on our staff, and he's done it for years. He said, we'll ask each other once in a while about a person. Hey, how are they coming along? He said, they're not getting any better. Matter of fact, they didn't even come in anymore. I said, what's wrong? You spent all kinds of time with them. He said, they don't want to take the medicine. I said, what? What do you mean? What are you prescribing over there? Well, read the Bible. Have a prayer life every day. Cast your cares on the Lord. Be sure you make church. Be sure you don't go to bed on a spat with your wife. Settle it before you go to bed. Keep short accounts, kinds of things. And he said, they don't want to do anything I say, but they keep making appointments. I said, there's no need of meeting if you don't take the medicine. Does that make sense? That's why no one comes to me anymore. They don't like the prescriptions. I just say, change. See you next week. And they really need help. I say, go see Rich. I'm sick and tired of this. Just do what the Bible says. Frank Griffith called me one day and said, is premarital counseling working for you? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, we've required it for years over here. And we always used to do it at Valley. And we required 6 weeks before marriage and everything. He said, how's that working for you? And I said, well, what are you getting at? I wouldn't even answer. I said, what are you getting at? He said, you know what? We invest all this time and they don't do a blasted thing. And we've never talked anyone out of getting married. And we show them 8 reasons why they shouldn't. I said, well, I don't do premarital anymore. It's good. It's wonderful. I think you ought to be informed. But you know what the biggest issue is? To change the mind. And when you change thinking, that should lead to change the way you behave. And when you change the way you act, guess what the reward is? You start feeling good about the way you're behaving and the way you've been thinking. And here he says, to change you into what God's designed for you, he wants you to start being transformed by using your mind. And guess what the primary thing will become real in your life? He says right here, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good will, his pleasing will, his perfect will. These are not 3 different wills. These are adjectival appositions. The 3 adjectives that describe the one. The will of God is good. This will is perfect. This will is acceptable. And he said, once you start taking in his word, you become a person who starts putting to the test what God says. He says something, you say, I'll do it. And you find out it's good. You find out it's pleasing. You find out it's acceptable. You experientially taste and do the will of God. And that becomes the diet of the renewed mind. And you start being changed. You start being changed. You start looking like the butterfly. Your attitudes change. Your mannerism changes. Because you're being governed in the inner man, in your thinking, by these powerful truths of God's word. I'd say to you as a young person, and that's anyone under 50, that the more older Christians you know, the better. You know why? Christianity has moved beyond commands and precepts to experience. And as you get older, you say, oh, I did this verse. I remember when I wrestled with being a giver. And I didn't obey God to give. But then I finally took him at his word and I started tithing. Or I started giving faithful. And let me tell you what I've experienced. Or whatever it was. Let's say dating. I always dated unsaved boys and girls, and finally I heard the word of God, I shouldn't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, and I thought, nobody's going to date me. I can't find any good-looking Christian girls and boys. You know, they're all going to another church. But I said, I'm going to take you at your word, Lord. I'm going to do it your way. And now I'm happily married, got 8 kids. You know, something like that. Doesn't have to be that many children. But, you know, in other words, I think of the Rollins girls getting ready to get married, 39 years of age, finally going to be married. But all these years, she's lived for the Lord. She hadn't been out there playing. She didn't throw away her morals, didn't throw away her values. She said, I could just keep waiting on God. And God, going to be married in June. Couldn't be happier for her. Did it. I did it not my way. I did it God's way. And then he says, you'll experience the will of God is good, perfect, and acceptable. So I challenge you, if you want to really find the true meaning of life, give yourself to God. Refuse the evil you grew up on. And start having your mind transformed so you can start approving and enjoying the will of God. You know, I was just reviewing the will of God. Saved when I was 14, started preaching at 15, went to Bible college when I was 18, graduated when I was 22, started a master's program when I was 25, started this church when I was 27, and I just repeat, married a wife at 65, and I look back, all these decisions. Big decision when I got saved is, was I going to be pure or not? Why be pure? Nobody else around me seemed to be being pure in the neighborhood. God says, I want you to discern my will, that it's good, it's perfect. And just do what I tell you. Just do my will. Just do my will. Don't worry about outcomes. Just do my will. And I guarantee you're going to put it to the test and find out it's good. It tastes good. It's perfect. It's acceptable. And as I start looking back now over nearly 50 years of knowing him, I say, wow, the will of God's good. The will of God's perfect. The will of God's acceptable. Doing it God's way has humongous payoff and humongous benefits. And I challenge you, if you haven't given him your body yet, you start today. And if you've been being conformed to wicked thinking, evil thinking, quit running with wicked people, evil people that will corrupt you. Don't watch that which will corrupt you. Do those things that will build you up. And finally, get out of the cocoon. Begin to do that which will transform you into something beautiful. That's what God saved you for.
That brings us to the end of our time today here on Truth for Today with Pastor Phil Howard as we have been working our way through Romans. As we conclude our time together today, we would invite you to contact us if you have questions, comments about the broadcast. Maybe you have a question about your own walk and relationship with the Lord, or a prayer request. We'd love to hear from you. Please get in touch with us today. Now, we have a couple of ways to do so. The easiest might be simply visiting our website, truthfortodayradio.org. You can drop us an email. We have other means of contact that you'll find there at truthfortodayradio.org. We also have a lot of resource materials available for your growth and relationship with Christ. Our design and desire is to see that you grow in Christ, grow according to His knowledge and grace. Any way we can help, well, that's why we're here. So stop by truthfortodayradio.org or simply give us a call. 855-833-9864. Again, you can reach us at 855-833-9864. Please bear in mind as you contact us that this is a listener-supported ministry. As you link arms with us financially, we're able to continue the ministry here on this radio station. Prayerfully consider how you might get involved in the ministry of Truth for Today, won't you? 855-833-9864 or write to us. Our address is 1511 M. Sycamore Avenue, Suite 278, Hercules, California. The zip code is 94547. And that website, once again, truthfortodayradio.org. It is a pleasure spending time with you in God's Word. We trust we'll see you next time we get together for another broadcast of Truth for Today with Pastor Phil Howard.